With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant Few Rangers podcast. My name's Colin McDuff and I'm delighted to be your host this evening as we gather around in the usual Sunday night spot to dissect Rangers' comfortable 3-1 win over Kilmarnock. Well, we weren't quite at our best in the second half, but we didn't need to be because we killed the game off. Finally, we started to kill teams off early on and the game was done by half time. Here to talk through the highs and the lows of the game. It's a stellar lineup. First of all, joining from the continent, Davey Tomlinson. How are you, mate?
Yeah, great, thanks. Just back from a barbecue, so life's great at the moment. Full belly. Great to be back in winning ways. And hopefully after the win, all these idiots Celtic supporters that have been flooding the podcast, hopefully they've disappeared back into the hole. So we'll get on with the show.
For anybody that's wondering what the weather's like or where David Thomason's staying, it must be sunny for him to have a barbecue. The weather doesn't matter, rain, hail or shine, he'll be out there with his prongs and sausages. The guy's a madman, so don't worry, he's in 30 degree heat or anything.
Hail, sleet or snow, it doesn't matter. Get the barbecue on, that's the way to go.
Ah, you're made of sterner stuff, my man. Also joining us tonight, returning after a solid debut, I managed to let the police to give him the okay to make another appearance. It's Mark, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate, how are you?
I'm good, mate, I'm good. Glad to be back on after a win this time.
Aye, well, this is the first time I've been on in 9 days, so I've not discussed what happened. God. So it's nice to be back again. Hi, the two Davies and everybody in chat. Hiya, hope you're having a good weekend.
And last but not least, joining us is Davey P. How are you, my friend?
Fantastic, Colin. I was just going to tell Davey that I also like to wear an apron, but it's for other reasons. I don't wear it for barbecues.
You get dressed up as a Swiss maid, don't you?
Yeah, well, no, it's we won't go into that, but I'll send you the video later.
No, thanks.
No, good. I mean, it was obviously a good day yesterday. We had a comfortable win. Be happy to go through it.
Aye, well, I'm glad you moved back onto the football because it's about 25 to 9. We've got another 25 minutes till we can get away with that type of tomfoolery. But on to the game, or before we do get on to the game, one last call to arms. Any listeners to the Morning News show will know that we now have a membership channel available on Anchor if you listen on Spotify, Acast if you listen on Apple, or if you listen on YouTube, you can join the page for 99p a month, or I like to mark it as 25p a week. It sounds a wee bit more friendlier. You'll get the daily news show every weekday as well as additional content. If you can, I know it's tough times, if you can spare £1 a month to support the podcast, it would be so much appreciated. But if no, all we ask is you keep on coming back, give us a like or subscribe or follow wherever you can, and we'll still be here twice a week talking all the usual nonsense about Rangers. So on to the Rangers nonsense. David Teal, I'll come at you first. So as I mentioned, Rangers killed the game off in the first half. I thought it was a really, really good performance for the most part in the first 45 minutes. Was there any surprises in the team lineup for you? Obviously, we've seen the midfield three who finished the game last week come back in. Probably the biggest surprise for me was Čolak instead of Morelos.
Yeah. Well, I think that's fair. It was definitely, for me, the midfield that should have started against them. That was the one we were all calling for. But I'll give Beale his due. I think we all seen Saturday that Raskin isn't fully fit. I don't think he would have lasted a full game against them, to be honest with you, because he was struggling in the second half to get going. When Lundstrom came on to replace him, Lundstrom got everything under control again. But I will admit that our forward thinking was a lot less when Lundstrom came on. But he did take over the midfield and got us back to sort of not being in any danger anyway. So that was my sort of thinking. But definitely liked the midfield. And I think the football that we played in the first half was far sharper, far quicker. And I'll give him his due as well. I thought Čolak had a good game. I've seen a lot of people saying he should have been humped at half-time. And I think, are they watching the same game that I've been watching? Because I thought Čolak was really quite good in the first half. He laid off a good few balls, laid off the ball to Sakala to score. And no, definitely thought the first half performance was really good, sharp.
It was, and there's a special section in tonight's agenda for Big Tony Goals himself. Curry, come to yourself, mate. Just on what David T was mentioning there, Nicholas Raskin, I think he had a very energetic first half, and I think him and Ryan Jack complemented each other very, very well. What was your thoughts on how they two paired up with Todd Cantwell?
It should have been the two guys that were in there last week. The full squad that we've seen was probably the squad that should have been out last weekend. I've not spoke about because I've not been on regarding the shambles of last weekend. This is where we need to go. We need to build our team round about players like Raskin. And no doubt we'll talk about the other new income as well, Cantwell. We need to build our full team around these guys, because they're the complete opposite that we've had for the last three seasons. There's no mere time side to side, horseshoe garbage, passing it back. Although there is some, it came back into the game later on. We'll talk about that as well. But I love the guy. He's like a Maxi Gattuso in my call for me. That's who he reminds me. He reminds me that he's got the determination.
No fucking pressure on the boy, by the way.
No pressure at all. He's got the engine in McCall, and he's got the determination and the grit. He could do so. And he's always looking forward. Every pass is, right, where am I putting this? Right, who's in space? Who can take a ball? And it's not just a half-arse pass. It's that he fires it into them. They need to run onto the ball. He doesn't place it straight to them. He makes them, right, this is where the ball's going. You make sure you shift your arse and get there. And unfortunately, there was one player that three or four times was near there. And it's the guy that's been running 2 yards short for the last season and a half. But otherwise, amazing. Brilliant income for us.
DVP, I thought for me, Jack and Raskin connected a lot of dots that were maybe missing last week, where we lacked the energy in the link-up play. I thought they, going forward, they were really good at, as Mark says, just getting the ball in to feet very quickly, moving the ball, no taking two or three touches, sitting reading the paper, then playing it. Defensively as well, I thought they provided a bit of cover for the full backs and let them get forward too. And I actually thought Tavernier and Barisic were more involved in what they have done in recent times, but I'm very much putting that down in the midfield.
I think collectively they started with energy, you know, with some desire. So the whole team, you know, and obviously the midfielders playing their part in that. So I think it was a collective effort. Raskin and Ryan Jack looked the part, certainly, and together, both willing to burst forward, you know, take the ball with them and create some space, create some angles, you know, force one of their defenders into a commitment which creates space. You know, so I thought it was all very positive. You know, you could see from the outset we were going to be on the front foot, which is a refreshing change from most of the games we've had at Ibrox this season. It was very encouraging, and you know, we got the goal in what, 5.5 minutes, and from there, you know, I think that kind of took any, I know, potential, you know, hostility from the crowd, because I think they were getting ready for a fight, but it never quite worked out that way because we had started so positively. So fair play to the team.
Yep, and we got our first breakthrough in the 6th minute. Connor Golson getting the ball over the line way after maybe the third or fourth attempt. It was a short corner, Barisic into Čolak, who's cut it back for Cantwell, who's had two pops at goal. Goal deflected to Čolak, then fires another shot, saved by the keeper, and Golson picks up the deflection. David, I'll come to you. Obviously, Cantwell has, he's heavily involved in that goal. First, Sakala's goal is heavily involved as well. He was my man of the match. This boy's a baller. I thought he was, even in the second half when we did dip, he was everywhere, and he actually, I think his aggression, his determination helped spark the team back into life a bit.
Yeah, well, I can answer that with yes and just stop, but I'll try and add to it. The thing about the goal was that Čolak actually started in the middle of the goal before he kept the player there up until, and obviously I think Barisic had a special, he put a different, normally he sticks one hand up there, now he stuck two hands up in the air, a bit different as he normally did, and you just seen Čolak sprinting to the 6 yard line on the sideways, and he picked the ball there, cut it back to Cantwell, as you said. And Cantwell, yeah, had first shot was good, and then he had a sort of a flying kick at the second one. Broke to Čolak, and then he had a crack at it, and the keeper should have done better, I think. But the ball came to Golson. But one thing I'll say about Golson, see if you watch him, see the difference between Golson and, no, I'll even say Morelos, and virtually all the other forwards. Golson was actually on the goal line offside when the move started, but it was wise enough that when the shot from Čolak came in, he had already moved back to he was onside, and that's where the other Rangers forwards don't seem to have the vision to know when you're offside. And but Golson, he knew he was offside, and he moved back onto an onside position, and that was really, you can see, I think Golson used to be a centre forward at one time, I think I've read somewhere, but you could see that he's a thinking footballer, Golson, and that really, that was the one thing that sort of a positive in that goal. Was it Golson's insight to see that he wasn't offside, to see that he was offside at first and then move on to a right position. So that was really great.
Hopefully he spends a bit of time with Fashion Sakala over the next few days showing him how to read.
Oh, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
We didn't really want to name names at that moment, because they're all guilty of it really, aren't they?
Mark, I'll come to you. I put a question in the chat and I want to get all three of your takes on it. With Cantwell looking such a promising talent, and taking into consideration you have Hadji, and Lawrence for a similar position. Do you spend the money on Malik Tillman when we need a bigger rebuild?
Thanks for the easy question. Wow. God. You could flip it both ways, Colin. You really could. We know the guy can play. He can turn it on. But there's been three games, each against that mob, that he's no turned up. Now, I'm going to give him a pass mark for that last game because I think Lindstrom and Kamara was his downfall because he couldn't link play because the two of them were that bad that he couldn't do anything. Plus, he just came back from an injury and he got clattered two or three times and I think it put him off a wee bit. He showed a lot of improvements since he came back. $5 million in this day and age for a boy that talent is nothing. So I would say aye, because there's no guarantee we're going to get the same Lawrence that left before he got injured. Look what happened with Morelos. He came back from injury. Everybody thought he was going to be the same Alfie. He wasn't. He's never anywhere near as good. Hadji was the same. Now, Hadji, if I remember right, I think a good majority of the Rangers fans were moaning about Hadji, about his performances and how bad he had been before he got his injury. It just happened to be that the game that he got his injury in had been the best game that he'd played for about 2 months. Now, he's been out. Now, he's gone back. We don't know what Hadji we're going to get. So, the money could be spent elsewhere in the team, but in what? What are you going to get for $5 million? The market we're looking at right now, players are no going to be $1.5-2 million to improve this team. The thing is, can we get a bargain? We need to get a bargain. That's all we can do, is get bargains. But I don't want to go anywhere to my A&E departments. You just carry one. Maybe Ross Wilson buying Timmy players that are no fit or potential Timmy injury prone. It's no working. I'd rather see paying lower money on young, hungry boys that's going to get 100% than has-beens or never-beens coming in and getting big wages and then playing half a dozen games to a dozen games a season. It's silly. So, I and no. Sorry.
Sorry. Jesus. David P, I'm going to come to you because I am torn. I am torn that I think Malik Tillman's going to go for 10 times the money that we are able to get him for in years to come. And I don't want Rangers to miss out. There's a couple of folks say that it's obviously not going to be £5 million up front. It'll be staggered over a few years. But when I look at what we need here and now, and I get Mark's point about like what is £5 million in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of the rebuild that we need, when I still think we need another number eight in the midfield, we need at least two keepers, we need another striker, potentially fullback cover. I don't really know. Where do you fall in with David Simon, Malik Tillman? I know after seeing how Cantwell's hit the ground running in January.
Well, Michael Beale at the end of the season is faced with a huge task, no doubt about that. But he knows that already. So the danger or the concern with forking out $5 million for Malik Tillman is that he's already in the team. You've just kind of delayed his transfer fee. So it really is a question of what is the total size of the transfer budget that Michael Beale will have at his disposal for the summer transfer window. And if Malik Tillman, who's already in the squad, is 50% or 33% of that budget, then it means that we've got a far smaller budget for other additions to the squad. And it's about him deciding what is the biggest bang we can get for our buck. So we need more Calvin Bassies and Joe Aribos than we do Malik Tillman's, guys who we are picking up, you know, for development fees and for nothing, which would then have a resale value. I don't think there'll be many players who'll be leaving in the summer who'll be yielding Rangers any substantial amount of cash. There's just the guys who are out of contract just go, and anyone who's still under contract is probably not going to be bringing in anything at all. So that Michael Beale's got a huge job, big decisions to make. As to whether Malik Tillman will be worth the £5 million, that really depends on a few other factors. It doesn't on isolation, you would say, absolutely, £5 million compared to, you know, what goes on elsewhere. But that's not really the test here. It's the test of what is compared to within Rangers. You know, what are our other signing priorities? Goalkeepers, and centre-forward, a winger. If Kent goes, you know, so we have got a whole load of holes to fill here with only so much money to do it. And you would have to question, it would certainly be a big decision, whether we could afford to lay out £5 million of that for Malik Tillman, who's already in the squad. The benefit of that is that we can see what he brings. He's obviously a quality player. But we may have to spread our transfer budget a wee bit wider. So the danger is that Malik Tillman may not make it, because if we don't have the funds to justify £5 million for that player, then it may not happen. So that's all. Between Michael Beale and Ross Wilson, they will have to decide where they want to spend their money. It's pretty much up to them.
There's a couple of good comments coming in through the chat around the Malik Tillman. It's hard to decipher through some of the carnage that's going on tonight. Apologies, folks, I'm on that as we speak. But David T. Teddy Bear's saying made a really good point that our recruitment team, they don't have any credit in the bank balance for me. With the signings that they've done over the last 3-4 windows, so are we really in a position to let go of talent when we know that we have it? I'll let you give the kind of last point on would you sign Malik Tillman or not?
Well, for a business point of view, it's a no brainer really, because the guy's only going to be worth more money. So I think he's done enough. Okay, he's not turned up against them in a few games, but I mean, let's face it, the games under Gio were nobody turned up. So the only game that's left really was a game at Ibrox. I think he's the boy's only 20-year-old. We're putting a heck of a lot of weight on his shoulders. And I really think that he will be good in the future. I think he can only get better. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think we've got to. If you want to wait, sometimes you've got to take a chance. There's not a businessman in the world that's became rich by not taking chances. They all take chances, and that's what we've got to do. Sometimes you've got to give money out to get money back. And I think this is a no-brainer that we've got to give him, because he's a good. He's a good football player. He turns up in times when we need a goal. He's done it more often, and he's good in tight areas to break down defences that are sit with 10 men. He's great at going through them. But let's face it. I mean, the last game against them, he wasn't fit to start with. And in the first 10 minutes, they crunched him about 3 times. They put him out of the game. They knew he was a danger, and they crunched him and put him out of the game. And, yeah, obviously he was taken off at half-time. But, I think it's a no-brainer. I think we've got to go for him. And we definitely need other players coming in. We definitely do. But, I mean, I think the likes of Hadji, I would be quite interested if teams have made offers for him. I would be quite interested in letting him go for a sum of money. What he's worth, I don't know. Four million? Is that a fair price? I don't know.
Well, he's just signed a contract extension before he came back from injury. That was just November, so I don't know if it's... I don't know if he's one likely to go, because, I don't know, Michael Beale's always been a big fan of him.
Well, I think Turkey, with Galatasaray, not interested in him for a while.
that link will always be there because he's there, I'd say.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's it. I mean, I think there's, we haven't got a lot. Kamara, I don't know what we can get for Kamara. At one time, he might have been worth 10 million, but I don't think he's worth that now. I think he's dropped down the list quite a lot, but I think we definitely need to get rid of Kamara. So hopefully there'll be money coming in from that. Yeah, no, Hadji's a possibility. And we just need to see there must be money. I mean, we're not just talking about on field. I mean, the Rangers business side of things has been going really well as well. And we must have some money over from our European travels. There must be something left in the kitty. So, I mean, yeah. I know it's easy to say, oh, we should just pay this and we should just pay that. The money's got to come from somewhere, obviously. But, I think this would be money well spent.
And I think it's not just a £5 million fee. I think we need to think about wages as well. But if we are having the clear out that we hope we're going to have, with a lot of big players, big earners coming to the end of their contract, Hollander, Davis, Arfield, potentially Jack, that will free up a bit of funds. So I just thought it'd be an interesting question because I wanted to add a bit of context to why I asked the question. I thought Cantwell was excellent yesterday, but we've seen snippets of how good Cantwell can be, and I think he's probably closer to Tom Lawrence than he is Malik Tillman in terms of he does have that flair, he does have that creative eye, but he has the aggression and he has that. So many times he went back and won the ball back yesterday and actually created the attack for deep, and I think it's an absolute farce that he didn't get man of the match. What I will say is that free bar and the hospitality must be getting better and better if Ben Davies got man of the match yesterday. Mark, I'll come to you for the next one. Obviously, Fashion Sakala took a lot of heat after the open goal that he missed last week, and rightly so. Any striker worth his salt has to finish an open goal. But yesterday, he was so bright. He was creating a lot. He was getting involved in a lot of long balls. Not everything did come off, but he finally got his goal. And it was a very well-worked move. But I thought he had a really decent game yesterday, and I'm delighted to see him get his goal because he is a confidence player. What was your thoughts on him yesterday?
Thanks, mate. By the way, that wasn't me, that was a mute, folks, just to let you know. Well, you're coming to the wrong person if you want criticism on Sakala for me. He's just, he epitomises what a Rangers player should be. He gives it 100%. He always stays professional. And I don't know, they're just, obviously everybody loves his smile and how happy he is, but it's everything about the lad. I love the bits. I love how he uses his faith. I know everybody's not into their faith and all that. I understand that. I know everybody's the same. And I'm not even like that. But somebody that uses that for the way that they conduct themselves on and off the field, I'm going to admire. As a striker, he's probably a 70 out of 100. As a striker, but he's the type of guy that he gets the ball, he does that, and he just goes forward. And that can be to the detriment, I think, because there was an opportunity to put Colak? I'll say Colak, it's easier for me to say. Colak was raging me. Even, I think that if you notice when he did score, when he put the ball in, the ball came over to Colak, and he just touched it. He could have swung round and hit it, but he passed it over to Fashion, and Fashion just slotted it away. You could see when they were running away that Tony was having a word with him and said, okay, can you not fucking do that when you see me? Because you've not done that 10 minutes ago. And I thought it was brilliant. They were having a laugh. I think we'll come on to Colak as well later, but that's the type of player I want at Rangers. He's going to give you 100%. I can't ask anything more for a player if they're going to get 100%. I don't want players coming in and not trying or turning up with a pair of slippers on. And that's what's been happening near enough all season. there's been too many players turning up with slippers on, and we don't need that at Rangers. Is it? People say, "Oh, he's no Rangers quality." Look at the amount of goals he scored for us. He might have a few shots, and that's the thing. It's a lot of shots he does get in target. He just bloaters it. A lot of them don't come off, but you're going to get that with any players, any team. They're going to have 10 shots. As long as one of them goes in, that's all you can ask for. That's my thoughts anyway. But I love the guy. I love the guy to bits. Oh, Davey's got to get going to me. Oh dear.
I'm going to partially agree with you because I love Sakala as well. But the one thing I will say, it depends what level you want to stay at. If Rangers want to move up a level, then we won't do it with Sakala. He's great at this level. He's great at opening up defences. But his vision, just what you said there, the Cholak, that was so open for just a wee touch to the side to Cholak to put it in the net, and he never seen it. And that's the thing what I miss with Sakala, getting caught offside all the time. He's just totally no vision of offside rule. So at this level, I love him, and I think he's brilliant. But if we want to move up the levels, we do, then I'm afraid that he'll come in the journey with us a short distance, but in the long run, we'll have to get rid of him.
Could I just say, Dave, I'm just wondering, do you think he thinks he's playing for that mob? Because they don't get Timmy pulled up for offside, and they seem to get goals when they are offside. So maybe he thinks he's playing for them.
Yeah, that's it.
Well,
he certainly looks deranged some of the time.
Aye, and see if his first touch wasn't like an elephant at times, and I'd maybe be inclined to agree with you there, Mark, but he's not getting let off that easily. Incidentally, Davey P, I'll bring you in to Sakala yesterday because I don't want to be too harsh on him. I thought he was terrific yesterday, and it's what we need against teams like Kilmarnock. We need a bit of vibrance, bit of energy, a bit of dynamism. But I do agree with Davey Thompson where if we do want to move up a level, he has to move into the short right role. He has to be somebody who's pushing the first team quality to be at their best. But that aside, I thought he had a terrific game in the first half in particular.
I think he should have had a hat-trick in the first half yesterday. He missed the one that Ryan Kent put across to him when he's in front of goal, and he managed to put it past the post on the right-hand side. Absolute sitter. So I'm looking for my forwards to finish that. So fashion, it's what you get. Sometimes it works, sometimes it looks brilliant, sometimes it looks shite. But that's just fashion for you, and that's the kind of level of player he is. And if he was more consistent, he would be a far more attractive player. But you're right, I think he would probably be a squad player for me. I would keep him just for his ability to come on and introduce some pace and, you know, a certain amount of chaos because I'm not. Maybe he doesn't even know what he's going to do next because predicting that for me is proved to be impossible. So he eventually got the goal which Antonio just laid back to him, which he then just had to get on target, and I mean, that was quite an easy strike. But he should have two before that. I mean, there was one, and here's fashion for you when Ben Davis pings it through the air. His first touch is sublime. He takes it, you know, in his instep, pushes it forward, doesn't even break stride. And, you know, it was so there's the fashion Sakala. And then the next one, you know, Kent cuts it across. He's in 6 yards from goal with just the keeper stuck in the middle. Either side will do, stuck it past the post. So it's just that level of consistency that leaves me a wee bit uncomfortable with Fashion Sakala as a starter in the team. Certainly, I think he would be handy as a squad player. But in the longer run, he wouldn't be featuring. He would be a first team pick.
So, into the we'll touch on Davinny a wee bit later and touch on his penalty there. But everybody's favourite was penalty to Rangers. But we did go in a half-time 3-0 up, and it's a bit of a 180 for what we've seen for Michael Beale, where we don't actually start the second half better than we finished the first half. We
our foot was completely off the gas, and Kilmarnock came out. They were getting in behind the full backs. They were forcing errors out of Rangers, and Rangers were just letting the balls go astray at times as well. But Kilmarnock eventually did get their goal. But Davey P, I'm going to stick with you. Do you get your takes on this first? With the different chances Kilmarnock had, there was one where McGregor's had to come out and he came through the back of one of the Kilmarnock strikers. I'm in the Colburn rear at this point, and my heart was in my mouth. I thought that should have been a penalty, Kilmarnock. What was your thoughts on that one there?
I think the Kilmarnock player did what most of the Kilmarnock players were doing during the game, and they hit the ground the minute they're brushed. So the Kilmarnock player is completely aware of the situation. And McGregor punched the ball away. The Kilmarnock player has got absolutely no chance of actually retrieving this ball. This ball is now 10, 15 yards away. But the minute he feels the touch from Alan McGregor, he throws himself to the ground. So absolutely, the Armstrong on the right-hand side for Kilmarnock was doing it. And Power in the midfield, you know, who, you know, I'm a big hard man type guy. Every time anyone touches him, he immediately flops forward, and he won numerous free kicks. Willie Collum fell for it every time. I find it's so frustrating. There was one which I think when Armstrong flopped over right on our touchline, so you'd have got a good view of this one, Colin, right on the touchline on the right hand side, when he falls over and looking for a free kick. I think the Kilmarnock player, when he gets touched by McGregor, falls over. That was never a penalty for me. I mean, VAR would have had a look at it, so they've clearly come to the same conclusion. It would not in a month of Sundays. In fact, I think that Willie Collum should, the referees in general, should be far more, you know, at the forefront in terms of booking people for these sort of incidents, because they know exactly what they're doing. And sometimes it's difficult to call it out as to whether it is or not, because they're so good at it. But that was never a penalty. There was no chance he was getting that ball. So, I mean, is that one of the criteria? Because he bumped into him. But I invite you to rewind it and have a look at it. As soon as he feels the touch from Alan McGregor, he goes over, as several of the Kilmarnock players did.
I think if you try and look at it in the cold light of the rules, I don't know where I stand on it. If you look at it in terms of consistency with the refs, the league and what the refs make, then you're saying it's not a penalty. It doesn't get given any other times, but I do think, you know, in a better standard of officiating, they at least look at that. I think in other leagues I have seen them given.
But he didn't have the ball, Colin. The ball, Alan McGregor already punched the ball away when the two of them, you know, collide. You know, so, I mean, it was just a coming together of two players. So he didn't have the ball. So it was...
So it's your interpretation if he gets the ball or no, I suppose, isn't it?
If the ball was within playing distance of him, the ball was now 10 yards away from him when he fell over. So there was no... The problem was now out of play when he got knocked over. So, I mean, for Ben to say, well, you know, Alan McGregor bumped into him and he fell over and that's now a penalty, then you can, the number of off-the-ball incidents at corner kicks, I mean, there must be 10 every corner where people will collide with one another. And it would be absolute nonsense. But they had a go, the Kilmarnock player had a go at it. It's the wee, what's the guy, kind of ginger-haired guy in midfield who, I'll have to check that out.
But I'll not tell you what the Colburn Road were calling him, because I don't think that was his name when he went down.
Well, I had a couple of names for him as well, but none of them were his real name. Because you know exactly what the playbook is here. You know, as soon as they get touched, fall over.
Aye. Mark, we'll come to you. Moving back onto the chances that Kilmarnock had, and like moving away from that one incident, there's another couple where Kilmarnock could have been pulled one back before they actually did. A couple of times, eventually the goal comes just for a calamity of errors. Just a ball across. Tavernier doesn't stick close enough to his man. His man challenges McGregor. McGregor isn't strong enough at the corner, and it goes in. What was your thoughts on that 10, 15 minute spell in general? Because I thought you could see a goal coming at that point.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're on mute, my man.
Am I?
No anymore. That's you sorted.
It's because I see that wee button there, so I press mine and all, just in case. Right. As I was saying, see, I'm a professional. As we've seen in the last games, it's the same goals that we're losing. Low balls across the line, and we're full back line. Just, they go into panic mode. I don't know. Here we go again. It's like the for fuck's sake to have mentality. I've got, and the guy does the day's job for me in defence. I don't like him. I don't think he tries hard enough. I don't think he gets on to players. I don't think he inspires the team. I don't think he inspires the fans. It's just. He's the first to hide all the time. Every time something's not going right, he seems to disappear in the game. And it happened again when we were under pressure for, let's say, about 10 minutes that they started to come in the game. And it was the same balls that were causing his problems, low balls. Then the ball that did come in, that I missed the initial, the first ball, but the second ball for the actual goal, why was that no a foul? The guy's using
Goldson. The guy's climbing on Goldson.
Aye, he's using him as a climbing frame. He's got both hands on top of his shoulders, climb above him. It was the showed on replay. It was the show. It wasn't even, I was watching the highlights. They never even mentioned it in the highlights. I'm like, what the f's going on here? But it's not like the BBC to be biased, is it? Because they're definitely no biased at all in any way, shape, or form. Arseholes. Region. But it's just the balls that are coming in, the men that are supposed to be there to stop them, they aren't close enough. And I thought BB had a decent-ish game. But Tavernier, again, he's defending, is costing us goals. Because our midfield, our defensive centres are not coping with boys coming in. And McGregor as well. He came out, I don't know if you've seen the one just before that with the ball come in. McGregor runs out towards it and he changes his mind. And he backs off and the guy gets to the ball. And that's where the initial problem started. But, it's like we seem to be doing the same thing. We're no learning. The thing that you keep on saying, I will need to learn, but they're no learning. And that's something that needs to be addressed and addressed quickly.
So to come to the defence a wee bit for Tavernier before I bring David T in, who's probably going to tell me to shut up and disagree with me. There's a few points you've made there, Mark, where... Aye, like the whole no learning thing, but that's no, for me, that can't just be levelled at Tavernier because we've got a group of 8-9 core players who have refused to learn over the last 12 months, which leads to more problem than one.
I mean, oh, sorry, I wasn't just targeting Tav there on that learning thing. It was just I was targeting him on his defensive, what's happening all the time. But it's the centre ones that are doing the same thing as well. They're panicking.
Aye, they are. And I think I had to add that context. But Tavernier is one of the senior players and he does have to take responsibility for that. He's a captain. Tavernier yesterday in particular, I actually thought he had a decent game in terms of going forward and recovering the ball in the first half as well. Aye, he did dip in the second half. I do feel a bit of sympathy for him for that second ball where if he comes for that to challenge the second ball, he's got to clatter into McGregor. So if I'm a fullback or defender and you see the keeper coming, you get out of the way and you let him clatter whoever's in front of you. And for me, it's McGregor has to be stronger. I know you disagree with me. What's your thoughts on that and Tav in general yesterday?
No, I disagree with you. But, no, if you look at the goal they scored, then there's actually Sakala's at the back standing watching, Kent's at the back standing watching, Tavernier, he is next to the number three. It's for them that scored, I think. Tavernier was standing he's a wee bit more than a yard away from him. If Tavernier marks him, then that guy doesn't score. If Tavernier jumps with him, that guy doesn't score. McGregor wouldn't need to. And okay, sometimes the keeper takes out your own player as well. For me, that's tough luck. That's the way it goes. But you shouldn't be relying on your keeper to come. You should hope that he comes at some time. I mean, we all say we want McGregor to come more. But the thing is that Tavernier should have had that player. He should have jumped with that player. But what Tavernier done was ran back towards the goal. And actually, when the ball was headed, he was behind the goal line. He wasn't even on the goal line. He was behind the goal line in the net. And yeah, really terrible defending. Really terrible defending. The big guys in the defence, they were all pulled to the front post. There was four players at the front post, and Rangers had at that corner. Rangers had seven players against five, and yet there was two players at least. Three players were one was Mark Bedavies, I think it was, but there was two players totally free in front in the middle of the goal, and yeah, as I say, Sakala standing watching, Kent standing watching, and four players stuck to the front post, and then yeah, you just got players where they can just touch them. I mean, they can really virtually just run it in because there's nobody to stop them. And Tavernier's behind the line. So McGregor, if he comes and McGregor's got to take everybody out of the game. But I still think if a keeper comes and he gets it, great. But when you're charged with marking a player, you've got to mark him and not run away from him. Then if Tavernier jumps with him, there's no problem. There's the ball's away.
Davey P at the game yesterday, out with the commander goal. How did you feel Tavernier played? I know fans were looking at you on his back very early on, but again, am I alone in thinking he had a decent game overall?
No, I thought Tav was okay yesterday. He had they were playing some nice triangles on the right hand side, you know, and with Raskin and Cantwell, you know, that he certainly plays his part in terms of, you know, getting more forward than in defence. Obviously, they had their moments in the second half, but at 3-0, Kilmarnock had thrown caution to the wind. You know, they brought Jordan Jones on, so they've gone with a bit of pace up front. They'd obviously gone to, they had decided at half time, Derek McInnes, you've got to hand it this to him, that he had decided we're just going to press the Rangers players. So from the start of the second half, the time and space that we had, you know, playing the horseshoe across the back was over because the Kilmarnock players were immediately pressing the Rangers players. And so they moved the whole thing forward 20, 25 yards from their first half attempt when they were pressing the Rangers for the ball. And you know, you saw on several occasions their midfield, when the defender was pressed by one of their forwards and the ball broke, their midfield were immediately on it and then pushing us on. So they won possession repeatedly with that wee trick, and you saw that they were swarming us at times. They didn't create an awful lot of chances, I would have to say, but certainly they were getting to our box. So they were just winning more balls in midfield just by pressing the defenders, forcing an error, and then picking up loose balls there and moving forward. And that was just Jordan Jones, you would have to say, played his part in all of that. They were just zooming after us. I think they kind of ran out of steam with that as the game progressed, because they were putting in an awful lot of work and chasing down the Rangers players at the start of the second half, and it lasted maybe 20, 25 minutes. I think they kind of ran out of steam in pursuing that wee strategy. But at the goal, I would think that one thing that we need to remind ourselves that football isn't silent movies. So when you're in that box and Goldson's is trying to win the header, the ball is then played back. The goalkeeper and the defenders are communicating with one another. There's a shout. Someone has to take control. And it's just about being, it comes from the training ground. Who takes responsibility in what situation? And you communicate to your teammates whether you're going to commit to the ball or not. So if Mataveni has been given a shout by McGregor that I'm going for it, keeper's ball is generally what they shout. So if Taveney has had the shout of keeper's ball, then he's not going to get in the way. He wants the goalkeeper to have a free run at it. So we don't hear that. So sometimes it's difficult to interpret exactly, you know, who was doing what without hearing what was actually said. So I don't blame Taveney for that goal whatsoever. I would think, it was almost in exactly the same spot where Kilmarnock are claiming, you know, it was a penalty kick, when the guy, as Mark has just said, you know, climbs all over Conor Goldson to get the ball back. And then their number three, who was on the move across our box, just managed to get his head on it. But I'm sure Tav would have reacted to the goalkeeper's shout there. Other than that, he would have gone to clear it. Just a guess.
So, picking it back up, and the last player I want to come to, and it's probably a question looking ahead to Wednesday, because we do have quite a traditionally typically difficult tie at Easter Road to look ahead to. David T, I'll let you kick us off with this one. Antonio Čolak led the line yesterday, and I'll be honest, even though he didn't get his goal, I thought he had a terrific game. The reason I was really impressed is because we've seen him do the things that we've been told that he can't do. And to be fair, like when we've asked him to do it, he's not really done it. And that is very much a Morelos role. We've seen him time and time again coming in deeper, getting the ball, but not just letting the ball bounce off him, take a touch, turn players. Some of the cross balls he was putting in, the players running beyond him were terrific. What was your thoughts on Čolak?
Yeah, well, I already stated that I thought he had a good game, and the people that said he was terrible and he should have been taken off at half time, I really don't understand that. Which one thing we haven't got on the agenda is the substitutions. I think that's something worthwhile to talk about at the end of. No, I think Čolak had a good game. He surprised me. I mean, it wasn't just the touch for the Sakala goal. It was a nice touch, but he had a good few touches, a good few back heel touches as well to other players. And I thought he played good with Cantwell. They joined up well together. No, I don't see. I love Morelos, but I think I would keep him in the team for Hibs. I really do. I think. The way he played, I find it hard to drop him. And you know that he's a good goal scorer. Well, he scored a lot of goals in the beginning. Unfortunately, he hasn't done so much in the last while. But and he had a good chance. The header, he had a header at goal. It should have been away. It should have been in. So that was a bit disappointing about him. But no, it's... for me, positive, and I think although I love Morelos, I would start him on Wednesday.
Mark, I'll come to you on Wednesday in general, any changes you would make, and probably get your thoughts on Čolak and the subs that came on, just as David came on. For me, on Čolak, just to reiterate, he's, the more the season goes on and the more game time he gets, he starts to become a more rounded player. And I think that's definitely something that we're going to need going into next season and life without Morelos, and we need a couple of strikers to be able to do a couple of different things. With the subs that came on in general, I didn't think there was much too wrong with him. I thought Lundstrom came on and showed up the midfield when we needed a bit of stability. But again, there's no really anything that I would really, nothing that I've really seen that makes me want to change the lineup for Wednesday. What's your thoughts on it?
Am I mute, mate? I'm all right. Right, thanks, mate. I was just sure there. Sorry, everybody. I had to nip to the loo. I do apologise. I'll be up front and honest. Čolak gives us something that Morelos doesn't. Tony's a team player. We've seen that when he gave the goal to Sakala. He's a team player. His link-up play is better than Morelos. Morelos holds the ball. He wants the ball where he's get his back to the defence so as he can hide it. Čolak wants the ball into feet in front of him so as he can make the movement. He's a completely different player. I would play Tony every day before Morelos now, because Morelos' time at Rangers was done. And as much as we love him, and as much as he's gave us great memories on games, even when they've been bad ones, I think the majority of Ranger fans have stuck by him, and we've gave him the love that he deserved, and we've gave him the hate that he deserved sometimes. But I think his time at Rangers is gone now, and the more that we play Tony, because he, for next season at least, he's the future at Rangers. He's the same as the likes of Tillman, Raskin and Cantwell. They're the future of Rangers. They're team players. We don't need any more individuals now. A certain mob tried to rely on individuals, and look what happened to them. We need team players, and I think Tony is epitomises that. The changes, I don't think I would change anything. I think I'd keep it the exact same way. The only concern, the Lundstrom thing, I thought it was a bit dodgy, and I think we discussed this beforehand. Now, I know people don't like Lunny because his performances have been under par, and then he was thrown under a bus and put on an interview that it wouldn't have mattered probably with any player, but I think whoever made that decision to put him up, because he was one of the worst players that day, they put him in to apologise, did not help at all. It never helped his cause. And when he got booed coming on, I just thought it was bloody disgraceful. A Rangers player should never, ever be booed coming on a park. As I said to me, if they played rubbish and they're coming off the park, boo them all you want. They deserve it. But don't boo somebody when they're coming on. Remember they're playing for your team? I was shocked. As for the other substitutions, I was actually mad. And it's actually a wee bit of a concern, man, having me, Bill. Because it's a wee bit of a warning sign. Bringing on the boys, and I know they only get 2 minutes, but they were up for 5 minutes. There is 0 point in bringing boys on that have not played for 5 minutes. It's not going to help their game fitness. It's going to do nothing. The only time you should make subs that late in a game is either A, you've got an injured player, B, there's somebody in a yellow card, or to me, I think that's about it, or to waste time. So three occasions you should be making that come on, or if you're basically, if you're maybe really behind. But we were 3-1 up, we were comfortable, we'd been through a sticky patch, there was 0 point in bringing the two boys on, but that's just me.
David, on David P, sorry.
Well, on the subs, I stand by. I thought Onsome had a decent enough game when he came on, and I understand why we brought him on. With the later subs, I know Beale done similar with Yanis Hadji a few weeks ago, when it might not be about the minutes, but it's about getting the feel of being back in the pitch. And I think that's why it was quite important to get John Souter back on. And I was delighted to see him, A, get on, and B, get a couple of touches of the ball. Without just getting that atmosphere and getting that feeling back into you. And I can only imagine that Hadji and Arfield came on just because they're making a sub, may as well use another couple.
Well, myself and probably the 25,000 that were still on the ground when these subs came on were utter bewilderment as to, you know, when the refs, the fourth officials held up 4 minutes, and we're now a wee bit into that, and Michael Beale then decides to make three substitutions. I mean, pointless for me, to be honest, you know, to give them a walk across the pitch. Pointless for me. I don't get that. I'm not a professional football man, and so maybe he could send me a diagram or something as to what was actually by that. I don't get it. I don't get it. But I think, I mean, we had by that time kind of stabilised, you know, that I think they had kind of run out of steam, you know, with their wee 20, 25 minutes of running about like headless chickens. And they were getting some joy because they were getting us further up the pitch. But after that, and Lundstrom came on, I think settled it down quite well. We were, I think we were more likely to score towards the end than they were. We had the one which was ultimately offside, right at the death. So we saw the game out quite comfortably. There was the substitutions. I don't know, it was maybe just a wave to the crowd, just reintroduce himself. Here's John Souter. Just for those that don't recognise him. No, because obviously I haven't seen too much of him.
See, to be fair, when usually I'm quite good at picking up way who's getting changed, who's bringing on, way like the way they stand in that. And I was like, who the fuck's that boy? He's quite big. It must be searching who's on the bench. I forgot Souter was on the bench. So,
well, maybe Michael Beale did it for you, Colin. It was just for you to get reacquainted.
Just remember, friend of the pod, Michael Beale. He does me a favour every now and then.
But I thought, in terms of, I know you may come on to this, and Todd Cantwell, I thought Todd Cantwell was the best player on the pitch by a mile. He really was. He was, and you know, you're right, you mentioned earlier the reaction to Ben Davis being announced as man of the match was what there was, you know, how are we supposed to take all this seriously when they make announcements like that? It's just, they'd be better not doing it. They don't add anything to their whoever the vote is. I would love to know who that vote is taken with, because you know, a few times there's been oh my God moments, you know, when they announced the man in the match, because it clearly wasn't Ben Davis. You know, maybe it was Ben Davis's mum who voted, but that's the only reason I can think of for Ben Davis being man in the match. Todd Cantwell was the match by a mile.
More likely reason is the free bars are better in the Argyle suite, and that's
strong liquor was taken.
Aye, strong liquor was taken.
I'll say one thing, Colin. The ball from Davis to Sakala was absolutely sublime. That was a cracker of a ball, and it was the way Sakala brought it down and put it into his path was absolutely brilliant as well. So that was I think it was the one Sakala should have passed to Tony, but he didn't, and put and bended up the keeper saved it. I think that one.
But, maybe he should have passed then.
Sorry, I missed that, Dave.
He should have been man of the pass.
Because he wasn't. Man of the match. As well, you missed it the first time, mate. It was dum dum.
But I mean, Davis, he wasn't bad. He was good, but just wasn't. Totally correct that Cantwell was man of the match. It was. Yeah,
Mayo.
I agree with that as well.
Well, on most of us agreeing then. I think that's as good a point as any. To wrap up, that's just over the hour mark. Before we do, just another shout out. Thanks to everybody who's listened tonight, commented, follows the page. It's really appreciated. And if AMD does want to join the members page on YouTube, Anchor and Acast on the YouTube page, hit the join button for Anchor and Acast. The link will be in the show description if you want to be getting the daily news this week. And for members only on Wednesday, there'll be a exclusive pre-release for members only. We'll have 10 questions with Morris Ross going live on Wednesday. So he stepped up to answer the 10 questions and a couple of good stories there. He had a good bit of chat, some top players he played with Elmo, so that was brilliant for him coming on, so look out for that coming on Wednesday. All that's left to do is thank you to my three guests for coming on, and I'm going to press you for a goodbye to the listeners and a prediction for the score on Wednesday. Kick us off, Mark. Thanks very much for joining, mate.
A pleasure as always, mate. Thoroughly enjoyed myself, always do. I love the chat, and all the guys in there are just brilliant. Some of the questions they ask and some of the reactions are just fantastic. It's a pleasure, an absolute pleasure. I'm glad that we reached the milestone and we're able to give it more content. And for 25 pence a week, I think it's an absolute bargain. Especially for the quality of you guys. I mean, see, I'm just a wee amateur here. I'm just your Joe Bloggs, and you guys have been doing it for a long time, and you do deserve it. Some of the stuff that you put out is worth a lot more than 25 pence a week, I can assure you. So thanks, everybody. Good weekend. A good result. I'm going to go for... Oh dear. Right.
I'll discretion here, right?
Aye. 3-0. To the famous. Against the spin burners.
Listen, if it's anything like the last time we played in Edinburgh, then we might not be far off, mate.
I'm hoping so, mate. I'm hoping so.
No, but great having you back on, Curry, and it's great to see your fan club getting a buzz out of you.
I know, it's dead weird, mate. It's I've got to cost me a fortune. And we see there earlier on, the amount of checks I'll need to send out. Like, calm down. It's like 10 quid every time you say something nice. You've got to repeat every single one of them.
Thanks for joining us, Davey P, mate. Always great to have you on. I bring a bit of balance to the when me and Davey T don't agree with each other. Give us your prediction for Wednesday night.
Well, hopefully Michael has some fired up for Wednesday. Easter Road usually an eventful evening, and I think we'll get over the line. 2-1, I'll go with a nervy finish, as usual.
Ye of little faith, watch this space. And last and by no means least, good to have you back on, Davey T, as always, my friend.
Yeah, great to be on. Great to talk about Rangers. And as Curry says, there's a really great group of guys here behind the scenes as well. One thing I'm going to say, Michael Beale, we're watching your substitutions, because 72 minutes before you changed anything was terrible as well. So Hibs, I think Hibs have got better. I don't think they're the same team that we will just run over like the beginning of the year. So I'm afraid I'm going to agree with David, isn't he? It's not often I agree with him, but I think it'll be 2-1 for Rangers.
2-1 to Rangers. Well, no, but
it's squeaky bum time at the end up as well, as Davey said.
No doubt there'll be a period where Rangers do put us through the mill and make us work for 3 points. Probably make the fans work harder than Hibs will, but I'm going to go 2-0 to Rangers. I think it will be a tough game. I think Hibs will try and have a go at it, but I do always prefer when teams have a go at Rangers. I think they do respond a bit better to it. So until next time, folks, we again
We'll be back for Weather News Pod Monday to Friday, and we'll be back on the live stream to review whatever happens in Edinburgh on Thursday night. Until then, take care. We are the people.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.